Welcome to the Ed Shep Radio Experiment.
Something stinks.
This week, our theme is...
Spray the glaze.
Smell.
It smells like shit.
The glade.
Is experimenting with a new system that would add the sense of smell to the movie-going experience. Every 5 or 10 minutes during a movie, a fragrance, corpses, rain, garbage, or whatever's on screen, would waft into your nostrils. It can be the green smell of the jungle, says Georg Frater, head of fragrance research at Givaudan. It can be a typical swamp odor, swamp odor, swamp odor. It can be sweat when someone is climbing a mountain. When you have a beautiful lady, you can have a beautiful floral fragrance. The possibilities are amazing. Givaudan got the idea for the new technique when they produced an ad for the orange drink Fanta and experimented with the Fanta odor coming out of the chair of the viewer. It is really amazing, Frater said. You salivate. The particular technology at work here is called a virtual aroma synthesizer, which works like a color printer, mixing chemicals to produce various smells. To show you how serious these guys are about aromas, they sometimes float above the rainforest in hot air balloons, trying to collect new fragrances. Most of their research has tended toward finding pleasant smells, but it might be more intriguing to see what they could do with the works of, say, David Cronenberg, Crash in Odorama. Now that would be the most disturbing experience in cinema history.
have as my guest Alexander Santiago, New York-based natural perfumist. Welcome, Alexander. Why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
Hello, Ed. As you know, I deal with natural fragrances, and I use only essential oils. I have a real love of essential oils and have so for maybe 15, 20 years. Basically, it was a hobby that grew and developed into fragrance, natural perfumes, as an alternative to what's out there.
What's wrong with what's out there?
Oh, absolutely nothing. I think there are wonderful things out there, but there isn't enough pure natural fragrance. We do have a growing trend in going that direction, but even the so-called natural fragrances are very adulterated with all kinds of chemicals and fixatives and additives. And they're wonderful. I mean, I love fragrance, but I don't see really good quality, sophisticated, pure essential oil blends. What we have out there in that regard is oversimplified and too earthy crunchy. So I'm trying to create a bridge between Mother Nature and high fashion, haute couture.
What's your favorite smell?
Oh, my God. I could go on for days. So many different essential oils.
Smell in general.
Well, it's kind of hard to capture this, but I love the smell after it's rained really hard. I don't know how to describe that smell.
Part of the smell of, like, right after a rain shower is the ions, and there's a little ozone.
In terms of nature, though, I love the smell of gardenia, but from what I know, there isn't such a thing as gardenia essential oil, although rumor has it that Estee Lauder actually had an ounce of it for, like, $6,000. But have you heard any such thing at all?
I think I know what you're referring to, because I think I did hear that.
So I tend to like the heady floral stuff. I love tuberose. I love ylang ylang. I love orange blossom, jasmine sambac. But I love all the earthy stuff too. I love patchouli, I love vetiver, and oak moss. I love anything that smells.
What about valerian?
Actually, it does make me feel very calm, but I really don't like the smell of valerian.
For the listeners who might not know, valerian smells just like smelly feet.
Everyone smells different. If you get close enough to someone, you do pick up their scent. It's amazing. And another thing about scent that's amazing, and I don't think we can say the same thing for color and things like that, but I remember going back to Puerto Rico as an adult and getting a whiff of something in the air that I remember from my first trip to Puerto Rico when I was like 4 or 5. This weed in the mountains, I don't know what it was, but it instantly brought me back like 20 years before, and it created this feeling. And you can't put those things really into words, but you know them and you feel them. I mean, I love color and things like that, but they don't do the same exact thing. There's something primal about scent.
I think smell is wired through the limbic system, which is sort of what some people would call the reptile brain.
Yes.
So that's why it's so evocative emotionally. One thing I did for a while was, I think at my first college, every time it snowed and around Christmas time, I'd wear polo. So
I used to love polo when I was a teenager.
So after a couple years, polo just got that association of winter and snow and festivity. And I actually do that today. I wear polo every Christmas.
Have you smelled polo blue?
Yes, I have. I was given it by somebody who worked at Bloomingdale's, who snatched it from the supply. I think it was a tester. But I loved it for a while, and now they have polo black.
I prefer the blue. There's a lot of blacks coming out now. Is that a focus on anise, or what's the blackness of that? I always pick up a lemony note, too, when I smell that.
I think it's marketing.
Oh, it's just noir, like nighttime,
yeah.
Mysterious. Have you heard that at Inflorage they now have mango leaf essential oil?
And Florage, for the listeners who aren't aware, is, what is it? It's a natural...
It's this nice little shop in the West Village where they have candles and soaps and lots of essential oils and fragrances.
They actually have a huge selection of essential oils.
Like my favorite place.
Mango leaf.
Cilantro.
Cilantro, tuberose, hemp.
Blue lotus.
All kinds of things. Take us through building a perfume.
I kind of want... Well, I often have an intention when I make one. Often they're custom blended for different people and I ask them what they want. But what's consistent with all of them is I try to have base notes or a dry down so that after you've worn it for maybe 20, 30 minutes, there'll be something still lingering there. Middle or heart notes that build upon the dry notes, and then nice greeting and welcoming top notes. So I tend to have a balance of the top, middle, and base notes. But also I try to create a feeling or meet a certain desire that, you know, from a request from somebody.
Well, first of all, the top notes are the lightest molecules. They go away very quickly. Top notes are usually citrus notes and green leaf notes.
Yes.
Middle notes linger a little longer. They tend to be floral notes, some spices. And base notes are the ones that's the heaviest molecules that stay a while, like
sandalwood.
Sandalwood, patchouli, vanilla.
Better.
So how do you choose which notes? And how do you know what goes well with what?
Well, as I said earlier, I've been like, this was a hobby of mine since like early college days. And a lot of it was just through trial and error. I'm like, oh, that's disgusting, or that's delicious. And just kind of making a mental note and writing things down as well. And then I just came across a few good books. I have one in my bag there.
Here it is.
Nope.
It's okay.
Called Essence and Alchemy. I think I actually picked this up at Inflorage.
It's a passage that we can read from it.
Light heart notes are florals that have a buoyant and airy quality, such as linden blossom, magnolia, and neroli. Neroli is an essential oil that is water distilled from the flowers of the bitter orange tree, which was introduced to the Mediterranean by the conquering Arabs in the 10th and 11th centuries. In fact, for the next five centuries, the bitter orange was the only orange known to Europeans. The name Neroli has been attributed to a princess of Neroli, a member of the distinguished Italian Orsini family, who introduced it to the courts of Europe toward the close of the 17th century.
And there's an unwholesome photo on the opposite page. I don't know what that refers to.
Actually, hold on one second.
Let me just say one thing about neroli. I have an issue with orange blossom neroli scents. Growing up in Florida, one of the best things about spring, which basically started in February, was driving to school through the orange blossoms, or orange groves, and the trees would just be bursting into bloom, and we'd roll down the windows, and the smell was just indescribable. It's like nothing you'd ever smelled. And when I smelled neroli oils and orange blossom oils, none of them even approximated the smell. Actually, one neroli bigarade that I smelled in Atlanta that I think was very, very, very fresh and very expensive and probably from a really good batch. But otherwise, none of them smell like the flower. And if you go into a lot of places in New York, especially the places that sell the lower quality oils, and you smell a neroli, you're not smelling what an orange blossom smells like. So don't think that you are. If I didn't know what it smelled like, I might smell this neroli oil, some cheap neroli oil somewhere, and think,
this is supposed to be the bomb. I'm supposed to love this, but I don't. What's wrong with me?
So that's my issue.
I know what you're talking about. Those groves in Florida, when I lived in Florida for a little while, and I remember that they would just waft through the air and put you in this intoxicating state of bliss.
This is Sherry Kinlicker on the subject of personal hygiene. Have you ever noticed that you have just some kind of nasty smell?
Just once in a while, man. It don't seem that hard to me, hon. Just go get you some soap. Run the air!
Smell Dysfunction Glossary. The medical term describing the total absence of the sense of smell, that is, the inability to detect or recognize any vapor. Anosmia occurs more frequently than a total loss of taste. Anosmia has been reported to occur in about 2% of the people with smell problems, based upon results obtained in a large group of patients with various taste and smell dysfunctions. Cacosmia, distorted smell of food and vapors. Dysosmia, distortion or perversion of the sense of smell. It may occur with hyposmia or it may occur alone. Dysosmia is a general term, including cacosmia, phantosmia, and heterosmia. Dysosmia occurs in about 5 million people in the U.S., based upon a recent survey on the sense of smell. Heterosmia, this occurs when all vapors smell alike. Hyposmia, the most common type of smell loss experienced by humans. It may occur following an influenza-like illness, a blow to the head, nasal allergies, or from unknown causes. A recent survey of the sense of smell determined that 15 million people in the U.S. have had this type of smell loss. Hyposmia has been classified into two major types. Type 1 hyposmia represents an impairment of smell at the olfactory epithelia area. Vapors cannot be recognized, but can still be detected. Type 2 hyposmia represents a quantitative impairment of smell. Vapors can be detected and recognized, but only at higher than normal concentrations. Kallmann syndrome, a disorder that can include several characteristics such as absence of the sense of smell and decreased functional activity of the gonads, affecting growth and sexual development. Odor fatigue, the inability to distinguish a particular odor as the receptors in the upper nose become fatigued or desensitized. A different scent introduced in the person's olfactory system, however, can still be perceived. When testing fragrances, no more than 3 should be tried at one time. Olfaction, the act of smelling. Olfactory bulb, the first region of the brain to receive sensory input from olfactory epithelium. The olfactory bulb presents the initial input and communicates via multiple pathways with numerous other regions of the brain. For example, the limbic system, hypothalamus, and cortex. Olfactometer, device for estimating the intensity of the sense of smell. Parosmia, any disease or perversion of the sense of smell, especially the subjective perception of odors that do not exist. Phantosmia, a smell that occurs in the nose without the presence of an external stimulation vapor. Smell disorder, general term referring to inability or impaired ability to perceive odors. It may be temporary, caused by a head cold or swelling or blockage of the nasal passages, or it may be permanent when any part of the olfactory region is damaged by factors such as brain injury, tumor, disease, or chronic rhinitis.
Aromatherapy has been in the news a lot lately. Having long overlooked its benefits, the medical community is finally starting to acknowledge that aromatherapy may be effective in treating a wide range of diseases, including depression, influenza, PMDD, allergies, and even cancer. Proponents of aromatherapy claim it can even make one smarter, less stressed, and more attractive. Wow, that's some good stuff. Aromatherapy sounds like it's really something. But is it the answer? Can aromatherapy wash you clean of your badness? Can it ingoodify someone as bad as you are? Essential oils can make your body smell nice, but can they do the same for your soul? Lemon or ylang ylang might lift your spirits temporarily, but are they really the key to lifting you up permanently? Can an essential oil save your soul? Aromatherapy advocates often claim that they are better people after they have inhaled essential oils, but numerous studies have shown that this is an illusion. Aromatherapy advocates perform no better than non-advocates in tests of inner goodness with or without the presence of an essential oil. Moreover, aromatherapy advocates consistently overstate their good deeds by a ratio of 36.44%, and this ratio rises after exposure to essential oils. Experts in the aromatherapy recovery movement have even shown that essential oils in fact function like a gateway drug. Users of essential oils usually move on to harder substances when tolerance to the oils develops, and the user doesn't get as much of a thrill. This is most evident in heavy users of patchouli. The truth of the matter is that aromatherapy, while it may feel good for the moment and distract you from how awful you are, is not the answer. Aromatherapy can no more make you a clean, good person than bathing in a lemon pepper can let ax do with cumin. In fact, the aromatherapy road is more likely to lead you to a lonely, frightening, soul-destroying place. But if aromatherapy isn't the answer, then what in the world is? Is there even an answer at all? Yes, there is. And his name is Ed Shep. Ed Shep is a light to the world. Ed Shep is original goodness. Ed Shep is considered a saint in 27 of the world's religions and has been named honorary co-president for life in over 3 South American countries. In fact, Ed Shep scores higher on the Elgin Kirchhammer Inner Goodness Test than any other human being alive since 1900. That is truly indisputable proof of his saintliness. So if you're lonely, down in the dumps, angry at the world, did yourself feel stressed, creatively blocked, turn to Ed Shep. Ed Shep will heal your torn soul and make you whole again. Furthermore, if you're still reaching for that bottle of ylang ylang, or orange, or eucalyptus, or whatever essential oil you're a user of now, know this. You don't have to go down that road anymore. You don't have to sell your body to essential oils. You can break your addiction and repair your life through Ed Shep. Don't wait. Accept Ed Shep now and Shep loves you. Peace.
One of the chemical senses, the other being taste. They are so called because they sense chemicals, and smells are, of course, chemicals. With these senses, we sample our environment for information. We are continuously testing the quality of the air we breathe, as well as using this sense to inform us of other relevant information, such as the presence of food or another individual. The chemicals detected by our sensory systems need to have certain properties. For instance, odor molecules must be small enough to be volatile. That is, less than 300 to 400 relative molecular mass, so that they can vaporize, reach the nose, and then dissolve in the mucus. This tells us that smell, unlike taste, can signal over long distances. We appear to have an innate ability to detect bad, aversive smells. One-day-old babies give facial expressions that indicate rejection when given fish or rotten egg odor. But, is our olfactory system doing more than just giving us warnings? Yes, of course. Amongst other possibilities, it serves a recognition function. We all have our own unique smell and can recognize and be recognized by our smell. Dogs can distinguish between the smell of t-shirts worn by non-identical twins. They couldn't tell the difference between identical twins, presumably because they smell identical. Children can distinguish between the smell of their siblings and other children of the same age. Babies recognize their mother's smell, and mothers recognize their own baby's smell. Emotion can be communicated by smell. Dogs and horses are very sensitive to the smell of fear in humans. Recent research has shown that a panel of women can discriminate between armpit swabs taken from people watching happy and sad films. Men were less good at this. The emotions of others, for example, fear, contentment, and sexuality, may therefore be experienced and communicated by smell. Memory is often associated with smell. Smell and memory are intimately linked, although this phenomenon is not well understood. How we smell, why we smell, and the impact of smell on our everyday lives is poorly understood. We certainly underestimate the importance of smell to our well-being. Ask any anosmic, someone who has lost some or all of their sense of smell. Some anosmics suffer from depression, and their quality of life is severely affected. At the moment, there is little that can be done to help them. There are suggestions that smell can influence mood, memory, emotions, mate choice, the immune system, and the endocrine system. We can communicate by smell without knowing it. In fact, the sense of smell could be said to be at the mind-body interface.
You're listening to WFMU, WXHD, WFMU.org.
Play the blade.
WFMU. WFMU.
If Alexander Santiago were a cologne or perfume, what would it smell like, and when would it be appropriate?
It probably wouldn't be very much a men's cologne. It might be good for both. It would have a lot of heady floral notes, like tuberose, gardenia, neroli, orange blossom, jasmine, sambac, and grandiflorium. And it would have probably carnation, narcissus. It would basically be a narcotic, and it would just be too much. My personality would have something more citrusy, petigrainish, maybe a little patchouli, vetiver, oak moss. Kind of earthy, very natural, not too floral, actually.
Would you ever take a pill that could, like, increase your smell sensitivity?
Living in New York City, I don't know. Maybe out in the country. Because as it is, my nose is very sensitive. And then when it's garbage night and I'm walking down the streets of New York and it's very late, you know, maybe, what, 2 a.m. or something, the streets really reek. And I always say to myself, like, I have to get out of here. I can't take this anymore. Especially in the summer. I don't know if I would want that pill. Maybe if you could if it would be a control thing where it would only work for a few hours and you wanted to take it for certain occasions, and maybe. Are you thinking of inventing something like that yet?
I want a pill like that. If I could invent it, I would. I've actually, like, researched it, well, looked online, to see if there's anything that does affect smell sensitivity. I don't really have all that sensitive a sense of smell. I can just, like, discern a lot of odors. And I'd love to just spend a day with, like, the sense of smell of a dog or cat. That'd be really cool.
I heard insects have 1,000 times more sensitivity than a dog does. So can you imagine being the life of a cockroach? And yet they stay in New York. A lot of these lotions have, like, this baby fresh kind of scent to it. Supposedly it has an aphrodisiac quality to women, and that's why they put that in there. But it has a really funky kind of weird kind of effect to me. I don't know. You know, like, this powder fresh cement smell that's supposed to smell like babies and...
I hate that powder smell. And every deodorant has a baby powder scent, and I know somebody who would wear it. And I really hate that smell. And, actually, I like the fact that, like, a lot of baby products are coming out with lavender and chamomile and vanilla. I forgot what I was going to say, too.
I was going to say something.
I had something, too, about that lotion.
Oh.
Banana's a pretty good smell.
I've come across a couple of guys who have nerve damage in their nose from working with perfume. Not working with them, but let's say selling them at the counters from being there for years. Well, you know, anyway, he could not sit next to me if I wore too much of anything because it stimulated his nerve damage. And then a friend of mine named Gurail, he has to sit, like, blocks from you because, like, you know, your nerve can even start throbbing here. It's just a nerve damage that happens when you overstimulate your sense of smell. I brought that up because I was wondering, these people that work as noses, and they're smelling chemicals all day, doesn't that do damage, I wonder, eventually?
I've never really heard of that. You can develop a smell allergy if you get sensitized to something, and I think there are certain musks that can't be used anymore because they cause allergies. And, of course, there's a ban in a lot of countries on coumarin because it is...
toxic, isn't it?
Carcinogenic. But I think that's to the skin. I don't think that's from inhaling it. Also, I think the noses smell only small quantities at a time and take a lot of breaks. But I've never heard of nerve damage. When you said a nerve throbbing, it made me think of the fact that there was erectile tissue in the nose. Yes, it's true. It's true. And look it up if you don't believe me, because I was having dinner with people who were actually in the medical profession, and I mentioned, yes, there's erectile tissue in the nose, and they denied it. And somebody called her boyfriend up, who was also a doctor, and he said, no, there's not. And I'm like, yes, I know there is. And I looked it up later, and I was like, yes, there is. But so it could be just like the tissue getting perfused with blood. And that's probably why Viagra gives people a stopped up nose.
I didn't know it did such a thing.
It can.
Wow. Now, isn't it whale puke that was very popular at one time?
Ambergris.
Yes, ambergris.
I think it still is, but it's been replaced with synthetics. Like all those, like ambergris, civet, castoreum.
Well, you had to kill a cat to get civet.
I don't think you had to kill the civet cat, but I think that people did. Supposedly, these scents, all of these anabolic scents, smelled nauseating. Full strength. And also, like, if you diluted civet to...
Almost a homeopathic blend.
Yeah, almost a homeopathic level. It started to smell like Lily of the Valley or or something like that. These anabolic scents, they added a warmth and a finish. But full strength, they were amazingly powerful. And supposedly, you could smell musk on glass for forever. But now, musks and all anabolic notes, they're still used, but they're synthesized completely. So you might have civetol or musk xylol or 3-4 amber blah.
It's amazing how they can
keto.
Perfumery materials. Patchouli oil, odor description, old wood, woody balsam, reedy earthy, blends with 2-ethyl-6-6-dimethyl-2-cyclohexane, carbaryllic acid, ethyl ester, 2-4-6-trimethyl-3-cyclohexane, nitrile, angelica root, artemisia vulgaris, bergamot, oregano, calamay. Perfumery uses amber, ambrine, approval maroon, angel, baby powder, balsam, bluegrass, blue mist, bouquet, pie bouquet, cabochard, Chanel No. 5, Christmas lights. Description. This very important perfume oil is produced by steam distillation of the dried leaves of the Augustine oil cabal, a small plant which probably originated in the Philippine Islands and Indonesia, where the bulk of today's patchouli oil is still produced. Patchouli oil is a dark orange or brownish viscous fluid, possessing an extremely rich, sweet, herbaceous, aromatic, spicy, and woody balsam odor. An almost wine-like, ethereal floral sweetness in the initial notes is characteristic of good oils, although this top note can be absent or masked in freshly distilled otherwise good oils. The odor should remain sweet through all stages of evaporation. Patchouli oil will remain perceptible on a perfume bottle for weeks or months, and the sweetness is almost sickening in high concentration. Dry or tar-like notes should not be perceptible throughout the first hours of studying the oil on water, and cake-like dry cedarwood odor, which may appear in the top note, should rapidly vanish and give way to the rich sweetness. The body notes of patchouli oil should display an outstanding richness, a root-like note with a delicate earthiness, and should not include mold-like or musty dry notes. European or American distilled patchouli oil is a pale orange or amber viscous liquid of very sweet, rich, spicy, aromatic, and herbaceous odor. The odor is often more spicy balsamic and usually more tenacious than that of the native oil. Certain distillers in Europe and at one time in the USA, too, have a reputation for special know-how in the distilling of patchouli. In all cases, whether it is native of European or American distillation, the odor of the oil improves significantly upon aging. The sharp green or wet earthy minty notes are subdued or vanish, and the sweetness rises to the surface of the odor pattern. Neroli the Garant oil odor description. Sweet, fresh, green, neroli orange blossom. Blends well with apricots, citrus oils, jasmine, linalool acetate, apophenax, pettigrain, ylang ylang. Perfumery uses acacia, amber, and bourgogne, buckingham flowers, Chanel No. 5, cologne bases, fern fougere, fleur de champ, florin, Florida breeze, herbal. Description. Neroli oil is the essential oil water distilled from the flowers of the cultivated bitter orange tree, Citrus aurantium, subspecies Amara, which is also important for the production of pettigrain oil and bitter orange peel. The flowers from the sweet orange tree are not used for the distillation of one particular essential oil, but occasionally admixture, contamination, etc. of the bitter orange flowers with sweet orange flowers is possible. Neroli oil, also called Neroli de Garant oil or orange flower oil, is produced in the south of France, Italy, Tunisia, Morocco, Haiti, Guinea, Comoro Islands, Algeria, Lebanon, and in small quantities in China, Spain, Egypt, Cyprus, etc. It is produced by steam distillation of a mixture of bitter orange flowers and the flowers from the shadow of the grapefruit tree. The flowers suffer under poor transportation conditions prior to the distillation. Acacia oil offers interesting notes as a modifier or as an individual perfume material, rather than as a replacement for the French or Tunisian oils. Neroli de Garant oil is a pale yellow, opal oil, which becomes darker and more viscous on aging. The odor is very powerful, light, refreshing, floral, with a peculiar sweet terpene top note, but its tenacity is rather poor. The oil is primarily a top note material in perfumery. The keeping qualities of neroli oil are very poor, and its odor loses its freshness after a few months if the oil is not kept cool, dark, and well sealed. Neroli oil is one of the classic materials in eau de cologne at the rate of 3.47 Ylang Ylang Absolute. Odor description. Intensely sweet, floral, diffusive, spicy. Blends with 4-tert-butyl cyclohexyl acetate, cassie absolute, cassis root, dimethyl benzyl carbonyl acetate, dimethyl phenyl ethyl carbonyl, hydroxycitronella, isomugenol, jasmine materials. Perfumery uses carnation diethylxylate, fern fougere, floral, freesia, gardenia, lily, bouquet, lily of valley, peony, sweet pea. Description. One of the most delightful floral absolutes is the one obtained by the alcohol washing of the concrete from Ylang Ylang. This process is performed almost exclusively in France from concrete imported. The concrete yields a very high amount of absolute, and this absolute is a pale yellow, destroy yellow, oily liquid of intensely sweet floral, very diffusive odor. With an unusual power in its top note, the fragrance fades out very slowly and most delicately in a long-lasting floral, spicy, and very sweet note, truly reminiscent of the fragrance of the flower. It is a typical balsam floral note, and it is distinguished from the odor of the oil extra by its lightness and uniformity. Considering its relatively low cost and versatile application, it is surprising that this material is not used much more frequently in perfumery than the production figures seem to show. Ylang Ylang Absolute is one of the finest floral materials in high-class Indian perfumes. Tobacco leaf absolute. Odor description. Sweet hay tobacco moss fruit. Blends with bergamot, castoreum, cedarwood, celery seed, hay, platinum, sandalwood, vetiver, violet. Perfumery uses aldehyde, cucurbit, hay, pneumonia, foie coupe, moss, oriental, leather, Russian leather, tobacco, tabac, tobacco. Woody. Description. From various species of nicotinia come the leaves which, in the cured state, are known as tobacco. Tobacco leaf absolute is a dark brown solid mass of strong, almost repulsive odor, faintly reminiscent of cigar tobacco. Mistletoe absolute. Odor description. Bitter herbal green foliage bark. Blends with cedarwood, lavender concentrate, oak moss. Perfumery uses fern fougere, forest, herbal green, moss bases. Description. Known in France as absolute ghee. It is prepared by the usual two-step extraction from the leaves and twigs of Viscum album, a parasitic plant quite common in Central and Southern Europe. It grows on various trees, particularly on apple trees, poplars, willows, etc. Mistletoe absolute is a dark green, very viscous liquid of a bitter herbaceous foliage green or rather green bark type odor. The dry out is sweeter and more pleasant. Small quantities of this material are produced in France, probably only upon demand. Algae absolute green. Odor description. Fresh green, sandy sea breeze, oily oak moss. Perfumery uses. Algae, amber, diffusion, floral, green moss, ocean sea breeze, ocean seashore. Gamma butyrolactone. Odor description. Creamy, oily, fatty caramel. Perfumery uses. Butterscotch, coconut, mango, peach, natural currants, beer, coffee, mango, white wine. Axel Bracanta. Odor description. Burnt fat sulfurous meaty fatty garlic roasted burnt. Perfumery uses. Chocolate, coffee, cucumber, baccarat, fish, fruit, mango, meat, natural occurrence, beef, chicken, cooked pork. Isojasmine. Odor description. Sweet, waxy, woody, jasmine, celery, fresh, dry. Blends with jonquil absolute, methyl dihydrojasmine, neroli. Perfumery uses. Apricot, floral fruity, green, jasmine, jonquil narcissus, linden flower, mint flavors. Natural occurrence, not found in nature. Whiskey lacto. Odor description. Green, coconut, slightly harsh, woody, maple. Perfumery uses. Chocolate, cocoa, coconut, coumarin, maple, whiskey, woody, fruity, floral. Natural occurrence, cognac, malt, Irish malt, rum, sherry, whiskey, bourbon, whiskey, scotch, whiskey, wine, port. Gamma 4 dimethyl 3 cyclohexane 1 propyl. Odor description. Fresh, sweet, clean, citrus, rose, warm, herbal. Blends with floral, lyrazine, lyol, victory. Perfumery uses. Body, citrus, fixer, floral, herbal, honeysuckle, sugar, fruit, jasmine. Natural currents not found in nature.
We ask people on the street to tell us about their strongest olfactory associations.
Chocolate covered donuts. I guess when I was a kid, I used to eat them ravenously. I used to eat them all the time.
The bus smells, gassy pollution.
Had a negative image of themselves because of the smell and because people knew that Romans had found that smell. The mill closing had a lot of positive effects in the fact that it caused a town to look at itself in the first life.
They're really trying hard to develop a town. I guess it will always be a mill town.
We all know that real men smell like gas.
Incident connected with smell.
Tell me about one of your smell memories.
Well, I was moving some stuff one day with a friend, and we were in this little truck that we rented, this little U-Haul, and I remember just we were cornered, we had to wait till this garbage truck got out of the way, and some other friends of mine always joked and said, well, one day you're just gonna get drenched in garbage juice because you're so afraid of it, because I'm so sensitive, you know, in my nose. I could smell things a mile away. And so my worst nightmare did come true. As this garbage truck was closing, you know, to press down the garbage, our window was open. Don't laugh. And it literally squeezed gallons of I don't know what this putrid brown stuff was. And I was literally from head to toe covered. And my friend might have gotten a drop on him. He was on the driver's side. And he just looked at me, and I'm there looking at him with my mouth open, dripping with this garbage juice, which stinks worse than... It's the worst thing I've ever smelled in my life. And we had to go somewhere quick where I could just use the restroom, and I basically showered in there. I couldn't get the stench off me, and it was just horrible. There you have it.
I actually had a car in college where I drove around for months with like a rotten banana in the trunk that I couldn't find. So my car smelled like garbage for a month. Have you ever had a smell that at first was just, it just disgusted you, but you grew to love? I can think of one example. Sauerkraut. I worked at Disney for a while and I had to open the sauerkraut cans and the smell just knocked me down. I couldn't stand it, but I don't know, after a few months I grew to like it, and now it's sort of nostalgic. I love the smell of sauerkraut. Do you have anything like that?
Well, I like to eat sauerkraut, but I still don't like the smell. Never did like the smell. It's just, I don't know how to even describe it.
Do you have an experience with durian?
Oh my God, did I tell you about those? Oh God, that's very close to garbage juice. Except these are supposed to be good for you. Durian fruit from, I don't know what country, I think Polynesia somewhere. And they're very, like, raw foodists like to eat this. And I had a roommate who had it, and he would, just by cutting it, it would stink up the entire house, and it smelled like vomit, and there aren't any words to describe this stuff. But it actually tastes good. And I never grew to actually like it, the smell of it.
You have to hold your nose to eat it?
Yes, and somehow it still goes through. I mean, once you get one little whiff of it, you can't get it out of your nose for a while. It's just one of those clingy scents. Durian fruit, you have to try it though.
Was there a smell that you used to love and now you hate?
I used to love Polo. It still smells good, but I don't love it anymore. It doesn't do the same thing for me. Maybe because everyone started wearing it all at the same time. this Indian guy. He was so funny because he said his name was Michael, but it was really a very like ethnic Indian name that didn't sound a thing like Michael. Anyway, and he had the most unusual way of putting things. Like, we were in the coffee shop one time, and he was in a bad mood, and he just was looking around going, "Oh, I hate all these pumpkin heads. Look at all these pumpkin heads in this place." So he would wear Poison, which is one of those great perfumes from the 80s, which, like, just filled a room that and I think
yes, it did fill the
Giorgio
room.
Was one of those, and I think, like, restaurants banned women wearing Giorgio from entering at some point. Remember that Giorgio? It was a shampoo that all the girls used, and it had a fake Giorgio scent in it, but it smelled exactly like the real thing, because apparently it's easy to fake, and their hair just, every time they move.
Yes.
Anyway, so Poison was in the tradition of those really ultra powerful 80s perfumes, but it was a very big 80s shoulder pad power suit scent. And Poison opens with Russian coriander, which is one of its big things, but it also has a very berry-like top note. In fact,
yeah, very plummy too.
To me, yeah, I was gonna say, to me it smells like blueberries, but it has this rich floral body.
And spicy too.
And a long dry down, so it's spicy floral. So he would wear it, it's a woman's perfume, he would wear that all the time. And I thought that was my point, but it wasn't, because I remember my point was that I had this fake Bulgari Black, which I really loved. I gave it to him one time, and I said, "What do you think of this? What does it smell like?" And he's like, "Oh, it smells like happiness." I thought that was great, actually.
The mystery of smell. After taking a mixture of mind-altering drugs one night, Stephen D., a 22-year-old medical student, dreamed that he had become a dog and was surrounded by extraordinarily rich, meaningful smells. The dream seemed to continue after he woke up. His world was suddenly filled with pungent odors. Walking into the hospital clinic that morning, I sniffed like a dog, and in that sniff I recognized, before seeing them, the 20 patients who were there. He later told neurologist Oliver Sacks, "Each had his own smell face," he said, "far more vivid and evocative than any sight face." He also recognized local streets and shops by their smell. Some smells gave him pleasure and others disgusted him, but all were so compelling that he could hardly think about anything else. The strange symptoms disappeared after a few weeks. Stephen D. was greatly relieved to be normal again, but he felt a tremendous loss, too. Sacks reported in his book, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat and Other Clinical Tales. Years later, as a successful physician, Stephen D. still remembered that smell world, so vivid, so real.
It was like a visit to another world, a world of pure perception, rich, alive, self-sufficient, and full. I see now what we give up in being civilized and human.
Being civilized and human means, for one thing, that our lives are not ruled by smells. The social behavior of most animals is controlled by smells and other chemical signals. Dogs and mice rely on odors to locate food, recognize trails and territory, identify kin, and find a receptive mate. Social insects such as ants send and receive intricate chemical signals that tell them precisely where to go and how to behave at all times of day. But humans see the world largely through eyes and ears. We neglect the sense of smell and often suppress our awareness of what our nose tells us. Many of us have been taught that there is something shameful about odors. Yet mothers can recognize their babies by smell, and newborns their mothers in the same way. The smells that surround us affect our well-being throughout our lives. Smells also retain an uncanny power to move us. A whiff of pipe tobacco, a particular perfume, or a long-forgotten scent can instantly conjure up scenes and emotions from the past. Many writers and artists have marveled at the haunting quality of such memories. In The Remembrance of Things Past, French novelist Marcel Proust described what happened to him after drinking a spoonful of tea in which he had soaked a piece of Madeleine.
"No sooner had a warm liquid mixed with the crumbs touched my palate than a shudder ran through my whole body, and I stopped, intent on the extraordinary thing that was happening to me."
He wrote,
"An exquisite pleasure invaded my senses with no suggestion of its origin."
Very little is known about the substances to which the olfactory system responds. The average human being, it is said, can recognize up to 10,000 separate odors. We are surrounded by odorant molecules that emanate from trees, flowers, earth, animals, food, industrial activity, bacterial composition, and other humans. Yet when we want to describe these myriad odors, we often resort to crude analogies. Something smells like a rose, like sweat, or like ammonia. Our culture places such low value on olfaction that we never developed a proper vocabulary for it. In A Natural History of the Senses, poet Diane Ackerman notes that it is impossible to explain how something smells to someone who hasn't smelled it.
"There are names for all the pastels and hues," she writes, "but none for the tones and tints of a smell."
Nor can odors be measured on the kind of linear scale that scientists use to measure the wavelength of light or the frequency of sounds.
You stink. I'm talking about when you just stink. You can smell it. It's not just other people. But you can't even stand it. You smell so bad.
In the dark, where all the fevers grow, under the water, stink foot, darling. Your stink foot puts a hurt on my nose. Stink foot, I ain't lying. Can you rinse it off, do you suppose?
The scents sold by fashion houses such as Donna Karan and Christian Dior are not made by Donna Karan and Christian Dior. They are created by independent companies such as Givaudan in Switzerland and Quest International in the Netherlands. Estee Lauder has long been celebrated for her perfumes, but she did not create them. They were created by professional perfumers. White Linen, for example, was created by Sophia Grossman, a senior perfumer at International Flavors and Fragrances, a company based in New York. Lauder was a discerning and involved client, but saying that she created her own scents is like saying that Pope Julius II painted the Sistine Chapel. Most perfume houses are based in France, and as a result, the French dominate the industry. It is an insular and secretive business that remains governed by the solemn idea of the purity of art. This is spoken of with equal parts pride and cynicism.
French perfumers come from the 16th arrondissement. They all had degrees in poetry and commerce and come from some chic school,
one Parisian perfume executive told me.
They consider that what they create is
great art, and that
because they are French, the world should come on bended knee and think itself lucky to be blessed with their creations. You talk to a French perfumer and it's, "My perfumes are wonderful. They lost $5 million, but who cares? They're objects of art that will live forever and conform to my immortal, pure aesthetic."
The perfume industry's accounting methods rival Hollywood's in ingenuity. You can't always tell a flop, and no one can find out exactly how much a perfume lost, because companies consolidate their figures, although everyone whispers guesses. The strategies that you spend in the first year on ads do you expect to gross in that year? Often, the ratio between advertising and sales fails to balance out. Chanel's Egoiste is a flop, given the amount they spent on advertising. These days, the creation of a perfume typically begins with a brief, a conceptual description of an imagined new scent, provided to the perfumer by the fashion house. When developing J'adore, executives at Christian Dior told Becker to create something sexy like a stiletto and as comfortable as a pair of togs. Some people blame the brief system for the industry's decline. Because the marketers who write briefs now commission and approve scents, they have acquired substantial control over the perfume creation process. Basically, it's, "We want something for women, all women. It should make them feel more feminine, but strong and competent, but not too much. And it should work well in Europe and the US, and especially in the Asian market. And it should be new, but it should be classic. And young women should love it, but older women should love it too." If it's a French house, the brief will also say, "And it should be a great and uncompromised work of art." And if it's an American brief, it will say, "And it should smell like that Armani thing 2 years ago that did $4 million in the first 2 months in Europe, but also smell like the Givenchy one that sold so well in China." The markets were full of spices, and Elena smelled lotus roots. When macerated in water, the root produces a smell halfway between peony and hyacinth. He also found some jasmine sambac, which is full of indoles, molecules that smell overwhelmingly animalic. Decomposing bodies are rich with indoles. It's feminine, the smell of death. Calvin Klein's Eternity is a heavily indolic perfume. The name must have been ironic, he joked.
The great Guerlain perfumes, M.A. Guerlain created the first, Chiqui, in 1889, were all tested exclusively on human skin, never on paper. They were expressly built to blossom and fade over time on the body. Today's consumers, however, don't want five fragrances on their body at the same time. They prefer to sample perfumes on paper strips. As a result, most perfumes today are constructed to smell good for a few seconds on a paper strip, which is a perversion unless you happen to be made of paper. Indeed, many of today's perfumes don't last. Kenneth Cole's Black vanishes as quickly as a picked green mango, and they often clash with the body's natural smells.
A master perfumer like Elena has memorized hundreds, if not thousands, of recipes for manufacturing smells. Many complex natural scents can be conjured with only a few ingredients. The scent of freesia, he explained, is created by combining two simple molecules, beta-ionone and linalool, both synthetics. To give freesia a cold, metallic edge, a touch of allyl amyl glycolate is added. The smell of orange blossom is created by combining linalool and methyl anthranilate, which smells like Concord grapes. Elena dipped a touche into a molecule called isobutyl nitrophenyl acetate, which has a purely chemical smell, and another 2 Shintuvanillin, a synthetic version of vanilla. He placed the 2 paper strips together, waved them, and chocolate appeared in the air. Even though Elena's perfumes often evoke the smells of nature, he believes that scents containing only natural materials are not fundamentally perfumes. The art of perfumery, Elena believes, is the art of gracefully combining different chemicals, some natural, some synthetic. The first perfume synthetics were created in the 19th century. Aldehydes, which were synthesized in the 1880s, are the key to Chanel No. 5, giving the scent its powdery, soapy, luxurious signature. Synthetics such as ambroxan, which boosts wood and amber notes in perfumes, and carinol, which adds a strong, woody accent, are regularly used in fragrances.
Good smell. You scent to hide how nice you really smell.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Because we think we smell a winner.
Mr. Way, too much cologne, well.
When I was a young man and infatuated with the Duchesse de Guermantes, I would always wear Chanel Pour Monsieur. I soon enough lost my love for her. However, I have never relinquished my love for Chanel Pour Monsieur. Chanel Pour Monsieur.
Shep Radio Experiment. Thank you for listening and tune in next week. This is Ed Shep signing off.
You're listening to WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, and WFMU.org.